forward to some great things happening in God, because in God, God does great things, and in Him things are great. Really, I'm looking to see how God's going to bring us out. You just have to be around when God does it.
Amen.
You just have to look for it, Lord, to really work things out. I want to look at Colossians, the third chapter, and encourage everybody. All the things that Christ has done. Shouldn't be a problem. And I hope if I can hear it, if you can, it might be because my mic is low, but should be getting out. We don't have a technical crew here to run all these cameras, run the camera and do all those things, and maybe one day someone will come and we'll be a lot better at it. But the truth of it is I'm praying that the time will come when we're out of this pandemic and we don't really have to do it except for the people who have to be home.
Yes.
If anybody knows me, you know I'm a very much a live and in-person, upfront person. I don't do a lot of telephone calls, although I do that. Anything that's serious, preaching and teaching the Word of God to me is very serious. I'm not big into a lot of live streaming and a lot of other things. I like to be right where people are and right with them. That's my preference. And so I don't always want to do it in this regard, other than for people who are sick and just can't be here. But otherwise, I thank God for you being here, those of you who are on Zoom and wherever you are. Let's look at Colossians, the third chapter this morning. It's already 14:12. And for me, for us, to go any longer than 12:30, we didn't really need to run it late because we're usually out here by this week. Let's look at chapter 3 of Colossians. And we talked about this morning being saved, and being saved is a big issue. There's nothing in your life that's going to be, there's nothing in any person's life who walks the face of the earth. The biggest problem that any person has who walks the face of the earth is being born in sin.
Sin, amen.
There's no greater problem that you'll ever have. You start out from the day that you're born with a problem, and that problem is being born in sin, and with the spirit and power in the spirit of sin. And the one thing that makes it such a big problem is not so much, is not only how it rules and how it reigns over your life while you walk the face of the earth, but the biggest problem with it is that you're born separated from God. You are born with a with an ought or with a grievance that God has from your very birth, and being born in sin itself. And as long as at the point of you would say, well, if a newborn baby is born in sin, you know, and they should die in stillbirth, do they go to heaven or whatever? Well, you know, I'm not going to say they're not, because I do know that you have to be in a position to consciously acknowledge God.
Yes.
But God is merciful, and God is also His mercy and His grace is there and sufficient for everyone. And I kind of suspect that if you're newborn and you're not at the point where you can consciously acknowledge God, you're also not at the point where you can consciously choose sin.
Yes,
so
right.
God's mercy will probably cover you. I'd like to think that I suspect that's true, because God is a just God.
Yes.
But once you reach the point where you can choose between good and evil, and it doesn't mean 12, it means 3, 2, whatever you are,
yes,
then we need to start leading them in the way of Christ, because they need repentance for their sins,
yes,
and they need
yes.
to know about a Savior. It is easier to have always been in Christ than it is to come to Christ when you're older.
Yes.
You've learned so much of the world and learned nothing of God. It's like meeting your parents for the first time when you're 20 or 30 and having been living with someone else and never knew they existed or knew where they are. When you meet them, you should be very glad to meet them, first of all. I don't care how late in life you meet your parents, y'all be glad to meet them. And I don't care what they've done in the past or whatever. For your part, you should have joy.
Yes.
You might not ever bring them around to some meaningful relationship and all this, but you must not ever live your life blaming them for whatever, because you have to forgive them at some point. They could be all the way wrong, but it doesn't matter.
Yes.
You still need to forgive them, because when we met God, we were all the way wrong.
Oh, yes.
There wasn't nothing right about us, and God still forgave us. So if you meet him late in life, you should have joy. And it's the same thing with God. If you meet God late in life, you should have some joy having met your father. Someone who will be a father to you and who is not like any other father won't disappoint you. Won't go through that. I'm not sure if you meet your earthly parents late in life, they won't disappoint you again, but I know God won't.
No.
And you should meet him with joy. That's why when I watch what television I do and it comes up this scenario where people have been estranged from their parents forever and they meet their parents and the parents show up and say, I'm your mother, I'm your father, and then they act like I won't have anything to do with you. Why not? You don't even know the person.
Yeah.
You got at least spend enough time around them to figure out, hey, look, you know, what went wrong?
Yes.
And how do we get it right? You know, you haven't been around forever, but you're here now.
That's right.
Yes.
Because this is the way God sees it. Whenever we show up for God, whether we're 10 years old or whether we're 90, when we do show up, God doesn't spend time asking us why we haven't come. He already knows that.
Yes.
He says, but you're here now.
Yes. Yes.
So whenever you are able to come to God, every time you're able to go to God in prayer, it's the same thing. You know, God does not spend time saying to you, well, you have been in prayer all week. He just says, but you're here now.
Yes.
And what do you need? And how do we get it right? And, he already knows what kept you from coming to prayer. And he's waiting for you to ask him to, if you ask him to forgive you, he will say, well, you'll be, you know, and really mean it. The Lord will forgive you because you're here now. And now what do you need?
Yes.
How can I help?
Oh, yes.
You weren't saved at 10, you weren't saved at 20, and here you are now 35, but what can I do for you in life? You're not so old that I can't do anything for you.
That's right. Amen.
But you're here now.
Yeah.
Want to encourage all the parents. We want to be the greatest examples we can be in God. If we came to God late in life, we need to let our children know, I came late, but I should have always been here, and I'm glad I'm here now, and I'm praying, I plan on always staying.
Yeah.
It's something that we have to do and instill in them, because like I said, at some point in time, you're going to have to turn them loose to God. You're either going to leave them in God's care, or you're going to leave them with the devil, but you're going to put them in somebody's hands other than yours, because you can't follow them around every day all their life, no matter what you do. So I thank God for it. I want to look in Colossians, the third chapter today, and it's easy, and everybody who knows me knows this is one of my favorite scriptures. If ye then be risen with Christ, if you have Christ, if you're born again, if you have been resurrected with him in newness of life, as it says in Romans, know ye not that so many of us that are baptized into Christ are baptized in his death, and like we have been planted in the likeness of his death, we shall be raised in the likeness of his resurrection into newness of life. If you have been born again, if you have the Savior, do you have him or not? You need to come to it and say to yourself, do I have the Lord or not? Stop playing around with it, pretending to others. Remember what it says in Revelation. You have a reputation for being in Christ, but you're not.
Yes.
If you are indeed risen with Christ, really saved, Holy Ghost dwells in and can speak to you at least some of the time, and have some influence on what you do in life. The Holy Ghost should have some influence. If you let him have his way, he'd have complete influence. But we have so much about us that's born of sin, and so much we brought from the world. And although our sins have been forgiven and we've been set free from the power of sin, so that we can repent, there's much about us that the Holy Ghost has not been able to influence and not change about us. And we should say this to our shame. It would be better if every way the Holy Ghost would change us and influence us, we would have obeyed and allowed it. But there's so much about us that hasn't been changed, and the reason why is because we think it's all right, and we haven't really come to terms to realize that we don't know as much about ourselves as God does.
Yeah.
And we haven't come to the point where we completely agree with the Holy Spirit that some things about us are not right. And we keep trying to talk him into saying, keep trying to convince him that the way we are is just all right. And so we've got ourselves settled down to the point where, you know how it is with parents, and children should know, and I always use the parallel between parents and children with God and us, because that's exactly what we are. He's our Father, and we're his children. You know, as parents, when we stop talking to our children about certain things because we can live with it, it gets to a point where it's not hurting anything anymore. It's hurting them, but we can put up with it. So we stop talking to them about it.
Yeah.
We stop trying to, they get angry when we mention it to them.
Yep.
They get irritated at the thought of it.
Yeah.
So you just stop saying anything to them.
You know them, yes. And that's
because they're not ready to understand the value of what you're trying to say. God does the same thing.
Yes.
If it gets to the point where he says, okay, you're saved, the Holy Spirit dwells in you, and you have enough Holy Ghost to make it to heaven if you die, but you could be so much better off if you listen to me, but you don't want to listen to God. Yes. The Holy Ghost just kind of quiets down and lets you just muddle along. He speaks up when he sees you're in danger of being lost. But beyond that, he leaves you alone because he sees you're not one that he can talk to. You know how it is in parents? We will speak up when you get to a point where it looks like you're just about to be, just about to drown or to fall apart or something's going to drastically affect you or going to do some horrible thing. Or we'll speak to you when on your bad day or whatever you come and you need help. We'll receive you and we'll hear what you have to say and we'll help you if we can if we're good parents. But otherwise, we leave you alone. That's how God is.
Yes. Yeah.
He will say something to you when he sees you're in danger of no longer being in the Lamb's book of life. If you do this, I'm going to blot your name out. If you do this, I'm going to put you out the house. If you do this, we can't live like this. He'll speak up and warn you then, no matter how angry you get or no matter how frustrated you get, he knows I need to warn them about this because they're in danger of being lost.
Yeah.
And this is what you call pulling them out of the fire.
Yeah.
Sometimes we'll take it and we'll say, I need to say this to this child because they need to hear this, because if they don't hear this, we can't live like this.
Yeah.
But otherwise, the things that could help and enhance and make life better and build you up and strengthen you, the Holy Ghost leaves you alone because, you know, you feel like you already got it. You're perfect like you are.
All right.
That's why preachers don't grow.
Yeah.
That's why you don't become more spiritual. It's not that you're not saved, but the Holy Ghost can't talk to you about some things that keep you from being more spiritual because you've already convinced yourself that the way you are is just fine. And God says, since it's not killing them, since they have enough of those, they have enough to be saved, I'll just leave them alone. But you could be more.
Yeah.
And you could run into fewer roadblocks. And, you know, it's one thing that when you stumble and fall, you get up. It's better not to have fallen to start with.
Yeah.
It's one thing when you run into a roadblock, you back up, take a run to start, try it all over again. It's better if you're going around the roadblock to start with.
Yeah.
It is one thing if you swim to shore when you fall into the river. It would have been better not to have fallen in to start with. If God had his way, you'd have never fallen in.
Yeah.
Because that's why he dwells there.
Yes.
Many of the headaches and heartaches that we have, if God had his way, you'd have never had them to start with if you'd have listened to God. Yes, it's a wonderful thing to talk about how God brought me out, how God brought me along. And we all have those testimonies. I probably have more than most people. But it would have been better if they had never happened to start with it. If the Holy Ghost had had his way, I wouldn't have to tell you how he brought me out.
Yeah.
I would have told you how he kept me from going in. If he then be risen with Christ, if you can say today that you're saved, got the Holy Ghost dwelling on the inside, Holy Ghost on the inside, working on the outside, that's what the song says.
Yes.
If you can say that today and know of assurance that I've been, that the Lord has come in and changed my life and set me free from sin, so free from sin that I'm not afraid to say I'm on my way to heaven. You see, when people say things like, well, I'm planning on going, you're not free.
No.
When people say things like, well, you know, if anybody's going to make it, I suspect I probably will. You're not free.
No, that's right.
Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I'm on my way to heaven, and I'm so glad. There you go talking about heaven again. That's what life for saved people is all about.
That's right.
They never, a saved person, never will make the phrase that anything was heaven on earth.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
You hear people say, oh, it was just heaven on earth. It was a little piece of heaven. Nothing about heaven other than the Holy Ghost resides on earth. If you want to say something was a little bit of heaven, then it has to be the Holy Ghost. I'm over here, darling. Then it has to be the Holy Ghost. Because nothing else of God resides here.
Yeah.
But with those things that come from the Spirit. So what about us? We only belong to God when we have the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
If he then be risen with Christ, he says, seek those things that are above. In other words, I'm looking at how I can make decisions and do things so that I can go to heaven. I'm looking at how I can do this so that I'll end up in heaven. He says in this, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, set your affection on things above, not on things of earth. My mind is in love with the things that come from God.
Yes, amen.
You can get to the point where your dreams and your aspirations can push God into number two.
Right.
And you don't spend the time in God that you need to spend. Oh, you're not backslidden, and you're not unsaved. You're just not going forward. And for wherever you are in God, your blessings come accordingly. Wherever you stand in God, your blessings come accordingly. How well you're able to communicate with God is like everybody else. How well you're able to communicate with people is how well you're able to get them to understand where you are, and they are able to do things to help you out. That's why you sit people down and say, now tell me exactly what is the problem and see if I can hear what you're talking about. You have to get to that point with God.
Yes.
Set your affections on things above and not on things on the earth. And it never comes to a point where something on earth becomes so important that it pushes to the side or takes away the preeminence of what I need in God. Bottom line is, whether I get what I get in the earth or don't get what I get in the earth, I got to have God. It's first and foremost in my life. And when that happens, because here's the thing, and I'm almost finished. The world and the spirit of the world creeps in. And one of the first ways that I know, and it takes time to get to it. You know the first sign of the world in my life? He tries to take my joy.
Yeah, yeah.
It's things that come and try to take my joy.
Yes.
It's things that come and all of a sudden everything frustrates me. It's the world. And all of a sudden everything irritates me. It's the world.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you can't say two words to me peaceably without me being upset. It's the world. Yeah. And everything you say, I'm taking it in the wrong direction. It's the world.
Yeah.
And everything that comes to my life rubs me wrong. It's the world.
Yes.
It's the spirit of the world that's causing it. Because in the Holy Ghost is righteousness and peace and joy.
Yes.
And when you come with a bad word, the Holy Ghost says they must be having a bad day. And when you don't do the things you need to do, the Holy Ghost says, well, that's all right. You'll survive. You'll be all right. Go ahead. And the Holy Ghost can walk up to me and can walk up to people when you really have the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is able to say, you're grumpy.
Yeah.
The Holy Ghost will say, you're just wrong, and you're grown.
Yes.
You don't have any business acting like the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
People who are always grumpy, always down, always frustrated, but they're saying, ought not be a mean saint.
Yeah.
Shouldn't be one.
That's
because
right.
The Holy Ghost should say, now that was me.
Yeah.
He does say it, but you don't listen. Shouldn't be a know-it-all. Shouldn't be, there's so much about us. And say, well, are they on their way to heaven? Yeah, you're on your way to heaven, but you know your life could be better than earth. You know, when you're grumpy, especially if you're around me, because I know how to put myself, I know how to give myself a time out.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, I do. When I feel like that, the Holy Ghost says you're just grumpy and all this, I know how to give me a time out.
Yes.
Go mow the lawn. Go do something. So you can be recovered. Oh, there exists no person in the earth who will say that I've never got grumpy or frustrated or yelled at some point in time or another, but there don't exist any in the earth that won't say that I'm not the first person to try to make peace easy.
Yes.
So I am.
Yes.
This is growth in God.
Yeah.
These are things that you do when you set your affections on things above, because you know what's making you grumpy.
Yeah.
You know what's frustrating you? Things in the earth.
Yes.
You know what's keeping you from getting along? Things in there. And it's not all sin. It's my job. It's my career. It's the people I'm coming to. It's life.
Life.
But I have another life.
Right, yes.
Because I'm risen with Christ.
Right, yes.
I have another life.
Right, yes.
If he didn't be risen with Christ,
right, yes.
My affections on things above.
Yes.
It's not the so far life can bring them. It's life in the person that you don't know.
Yeah.
Who rolls his eyes at you walking down the street.
Yeah.
And you'll say, why did they do that? And you'll keep on going
Yeah. And
not give it another thought.
Yeah.
But if it's somebody who's important to you and they're in your affections and they look at you wrong, now you're concerned.
Yeah.
When your affections are on the earth, you should, you know, when your affections are on heaven, you should treat the earth like somebody you don't know.
Yeah.
And no matter what they do, you just keep on going.
Yeah.
And you just say, well, that's earth.
Yeah.
They cut me off.
Yeah.
Gave me the finger. You know what he said? That's earth. Not chasing the old people do it.
Now you got
yes.
They're wrong and they'll do it. And then you want, now if you don't say that's earth, you know what you want to do? Like one of my brothers, you want to run them down, roll down your window, say something back.
Yep.
But if your affection is on things above, you just say, well, that's earth.
Yes.
And I'm going to leave you down here with your finger.
Yeah, that's
because
right.
I'm going on up.
Oh, yeah.
That's just earth.
That's
going to some place and the people are real rude to you. When you wish they wouldn't and they irritate you for a moment. But you ought to shake your head as you walk off and say, that's earth.
Yeah.
Glad I won't see anybody like you in heaven. And this is where how you know they're not going to heaven. They might go to heaven, but by the time they get there, they won't be like that.
Yeah, that's right.
They might very well make it to heaven. Maybe the Lord will save them, or maybe they're just a mean, saved person today, but when I see them in heaven, they won't be like that.
Right.
I'm not even worried about the people saying, you're going to have to love me down here because you get to heaven, you have to love me, but you won't be like me up there.
That's right.
If you make it, not make it, we won't be like
you.
When I see you in heaven, you won't be like you are.
Right.
I'm going to heaven. If you make it to heaven, you will be different.
That's right.
I won't have to put up with your grumpiness, your frustrated self, and your mean self, and your what. If you make it to heaven, you won't be any of those.
Oh, that's right.
It'll be scraped off when you're changed from mortal to
mortal.
It won't go with you in your new life. You'll be. We want to. There's nobody in heaven that I would have to put up with. And I won't be somebody in heaven that you have to put up with.
All right, that's right.
Because it says in this, when Christ, who is our life,
Christ is my life.
He's my life.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
The problem we have, and why we are like we are, because so much of our life is not Christ.
That's right.
The grumpy side.
Yeah. Is
not Christ.
Yeah.
The mean side
Yeah. Is
not Christ. The unforgiving side is not Christ. The frustrated side
Yeah. Yeah. Is
not Christ. Because in Christ is righteousness and peace and joy. So you can't have peace all the time. Ain't no peace in the United States. I'm not in the United States. I'm in Christ. I live here, but my life is in heaven. I'm not worried about all those things. If you give them to God, it wouldn't frustrate you as much. If you, you know, if we would just obey God, we could ask God to move and have faith in God that he's going to work things out. Like Sister Gladys Callis said, she said one time, said she was really going through it. She said she was praying and crying out to God. She said the Spirit spoke to her and said either this situation will be over or Jesus will come. And that's how I live my life. When things get bad enough, either God will always bring me out or Jesus will come.
Yeah, that's right.
Either God will always fix it for me or Jesus will come.
Jesus will come.
And if Jesus doesn't come to me, then I'll go to him.
That's right.
But one way or the other, God's going to fix it.
Yeah.
Either God will work it out on life or Jesus will come.
Yeah.
The reason why people are in despair, heard this one time too, but it's
Yes. True.
The reason why people despair is because they don't have hope in God.
Yeah.
And
Yes. Despair
because you don't have hope in God.
Yes.
Your hope in yourself and hope in life is not deep, is not deep enough.
Yes.
And since you don't have hope in God, when things are beyond what you're able to hope in yourself for, that's when you start to become frustrated. That's when they start to when it starts to manifest itself. And when you can't put up with anybody, listen to me. If you know, for the most part, I'm not saying that I can put up with everybody, but I got one for you. If I'm serving God and I'm obeying God. And I say this of the truth. If I'm obeying God, now if I'm somewhere I'm not supposed to be, I'm not obeying God. No telling what I'll run into.
Yeah.
But if I'm obeying God, no one's going to come in my life that's going to cause me to be in despair.
Yeah.
If I'm obeying God, where I'm supposed to be, not someplace I'm not supposed to be. All kinds of things come in your life when you don't obey.
Yeah.
But when you're obeying God,
yeah.
No one's going to come in your life that are so horrible that they bring you to the depths of despair when you're obeying God. Because God will move you or God will move them.
Yeah.
One way or the other, God will work out.
That's right.
I just can't take it no more. I just can't take it no more. Tell God, Lord, I can't take it anymore.
That's right.
And God will fix that.
Yes, he will.
Or God will fix you.
Yes, he will.
Or God will fix both.
Yes.
But God will work it out.
Yes.
If you obey God.
Yes.
When Christ, who is our life, shall appear. You got to make sure he's your life.
Yes.
You got to make sure that he's your life. My life is in Christ.
Yes.
I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live because of the Son of God who loved me and gave his life to me. He is my life. With Christ, who is my life, shall appear. I shall appear with him in glory. When I see Jesus, if I'm caught up in the rapture, when I see Jesus, by the time I see him, I'll be changed. If I should die tonight, if I see Jesus in the morning, if I die, I'll see him in the morning, and I will be changed. When I lay my eyes on Jesus, I will be changed. Not I'm going to change. I will be changed. When Christ, who is my life, shall appear, I'm going to appear with him in glory. Glory meaning I'm going to appear with him where he is. And glory meaning I'll be glorified. My body be glorified
just like his.
I'm going to appear with him in a glorified body.
Yes.
This is what I'm depending on. You just have to make sure your life is in Christ.
Yes.
Everybody stand. Thank God for his goodness and his mercy. Come on, stand. Let's pray for you.